Michigan's COVID caseload has been on a bit of a roller coaster ride the past couple of weeks. While our state is thankfully benefiting from lower death rates compared with spring and compared with some other states in the U.S., there are counties in Michigan experiencing outbreaks that leave many wondering if we'll be back in lockdown before the summer's over. Joining us today is one of the architects of the state's public health policies, Michigan's chief medical executive, Dr. Jonae Khaldun. Dr. Khaldun, welcome back to Stateside.
Thank you for having me.
Let's talk a little bit, for starters, about Sunday's results. There were no COVID-related deaths reported yesterday since, I believe that's the first time since March that that's happened, correct?
Yes, that is correct. There were no COVID-related deaths reported on that day. But I do want to caution people that the date of the report does not actually mean that no one actually died on that day. So we are going back and looking at retrospectively all of our cases and deaths. But I expect there to be more deaths, given that we're seeing more cases every day.
Right. And there were, I believe, several hundred new cases reported. So it's not as if the picture was entirely rosy, even by the numbers. Over the 4th of July, we certainly saw a lot of people gathering with friends and family, and there were campsites and beaches that were absolutely buzzing. Are you expecting a statewide spike over the next 2 weeks?
It's something I'm certainly concerned about. Anytime we see people gathering in large groups, not socially distancing, not wearing masks, we certainly are concerned about the fallout of that, which is increasing cases. So we will be closely watching the data as we continue to do. We continue to encourage people to socially distance and wear their masks. And hopefully we do not see a spike in cases. But from some of the pictures that I've seen, it would not be a surprise if we see outbreaks associated with what happened over the weekend.
Michigan's experienced a couple different waves of infection recently, which may or may not track with what listeners see, depending on what county they're in. And we keep hearing phrases like first wave, second wave, surge, and spike. I wondered if, first of all, if those are phrases that you use and that you find meaningful, and second of all, if you think they're helpful in the public's understanding.
Right. So I certainly understand that people use different phrases like you described. From my perspective, you know, we saw a surge, if you will, in cases in the spring, in the early spring, and we saw those cases decline, and now we're still seeing cases every day. So I continue to be full court press, if you will, when it comes to cases and deaths and tracking. I know a lot of people talk about prevent a second surge in the fall. Well, as far as I'm concerned, what we do now is absolutely important as well. So I don't want to necessarily put off the hard work until the fall. It's an ongoing public health response.
Right. What do the waves mean?
So it's all about case rates and how many cases you're seeing and the surge in cases. Again, it refers to the curve, if you will, with the number of cases that you see per day. And as you noted, we saw those go up significantly in late March and early April in the state. And then they slowly kind of came down. So it literally refers to the shape of the curve, if you will, when it comes to cases. And so we have been at a plateau, kind of at the bottom of a curve over the past several weeks. But again, over the past couple of weeks, specifically more recently, we are starting to see an increase in the number of cases, which is very concerning.
Can you update us on how many tests are being performed in the state each day?
Yeah, so it varies every day, obviously. We recently surpassed our initial goal of 15,000 tests per day, and for several days have hit actually 16,000 tests per day, which is something that's very, very important. We continue to encourage people, especially those who are working in high-risk industries where they're out interacting with the public, certainly people who may have been exposed themselves to someone who has symptoms or who has confirmed COVID-19, for them to seek out a test. And we have several sites across the state. And you can also find out where those sites are on our coronavirus website.
Some of the counties that have been hit hard, even though they're sparsely populated, are in the more rural parts of the state. I saw Oceana County had over 340 cases reported recently, which, given that it's a county of about 26,000 people, is a lot. What do we know about contagion in rural areas?
Well, what we know is no one is immune, regardless of where you live. Just one person can spread the disease to several other people. So it doesn't matter if you're living in a more densely populated area like the southeast part of the state or you're living in the Upper Peninsula. And so it basically means that, you know, we're all at risk of getting the disease. And when you have one person, whether it's in a workplace, which is what we've seen in several places, whether it's at a bar or a restaurant, whether it's a family gathering, people are not immune regardless of where they live. And especially in our more rural areas, we're even more concerned because we know hospital capacity is also not as great as it is in Southeast Michigan. So it's something we have to watch very closely.
Is contact tracing easier to do in the rural counties?
I don't know if I would say that it's easier necessarily. What we've seen over the past several weeks is that for every case of COVID-19, whereas they used to have only three close contacts on average, now every case that we're investigating across the state has four contacts. So that means that more and more people are out and more people are coming in contact with other individuals. So I wouldn't say it's necessarily easier. It's all about the context. If that person went to a party or, you know, had several people at their home, then the risk is still there regardless of where that person may live.
Last month, you put the response rate for contact tracing at 60%. And I understand that was just for the volunteers who were working for the state. Now, it happens that a lot of this work is also happening at the local health department level. How do you feel like we're doing with contact tracing statewide?
Yeah, so we have been really expanding our contact tracing efforts across the state, providing staffing to the local health departments. Again, this is their bread and butter work that they do every day. Anyway, we've got over 10,000 volunteers that have signed up, and then we're also working on hiring volunteers as well. We've also had to update our technology systems. They're quite outdated, and it made it challenging to be able to do the work. So we've updated that and are rolling that out across the state. I think we're in a good place for now. The challenges with contact tracing that we have currently are not necessarily the number of staff, but it's more about, is someone actually answering the phone when we call them? Is that person who has COVID-19 actually telling us about their other contacts? And are those people actually answering the phone? So there's a lot of things about just the general public responding to our contact tracing efforts that we continue to work through. But there's no question, we know that as we move forward over the next several months, we will need more contact tracers. And that's why we've got money that's going out the door to local health departments to build up their capacity there as well.
Has it been difficult to get results from the counties?
When you say results, no, I would not say it's been difficult at all. Our local health departments are doing an amazing job. Again, on the front lines, they're responding to outbreaks, they're doing the contact tracing. They know the ins and outs and the details of all of the outbreaks across the state. And quite frankly, that's why we know about them, is because they're doing their due diligence and increasing testing. Whether it's at a bar or family outing, they're the ones who are actually on the front lines doing the work. So I would not say that's been a problem at all.
We're at a stage where people talk about their fatigue with being at home, their frustration about their jobs and the economy. And sometimes even things just as simple as a mask get downright nasty when people are talking to friends and family about it. How are you getting through to people about the seriousness of the situation, which has not really ended?
Right. I certainly understand people being tired of wearing a mask and, you know, wanting to go about their usual lives before COVID-19. But I can tell you, we've all got to just be patient. We have to remain vigilant. I'm incredibly concerned about what I'm seeing with people not wearing masks and gathering in large crowds indoors. There's no question that's going to contribute to more outbreaks. And we've seen that already across the state in several instances. I think people just have to be patient. Wearing a mask is better than being in a hospital and on a ventilator. So wear your mask. You're protecting not just yourself, you're protecting your family members and your communities. So I just think it's something that I hope people don't make a political thing, but really make it something that's for the better of the health of our communities.
We know that Governor Whitmer was considering rolling back some of the openings, given the fact that we were starting to see many counties' infection rates tick back up again. Do you anticipate that we'll be hearing from the governor anytime this week on that?
Well, we continue to monitor the data. Obviously, the governor had really wanted to move the entire state forward to phase five, and we were unable to do that because of what the data was showing us. And so we'll continue to monitor and move forward from a policy perspective as necessary.
Mm-hmm. If we do see a continued spike, do you feel like it can be, we're at a place where we can trace it back directly to people's compliance with the physical distancing orders and the suggestions for masks right now?
Often we can. Again, this is the work of the contact tracers. We whenever there's a positive case, we go back and ask someone where they've been. And often it's, you know, it's a bar or there's been some type of community. There's been some type of gathering that we find out about. But sometimes it's still the case that we don't actually know how someone got the disease. And it's indication that there's actually community spread, which is something that's very concerning. Every case is not necessarily associated with a specific outbreak or a public gathering.
Dr. Khaldun, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me on the show.
Jonae Khaldun is Chief Medical Executive for the State of Michigan.